McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
Welcome to Falkirk Daft. It is your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with Falkirk Bairns. And in the words of Whitesnake, I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises and songs of yesterday, and I've made up my mind. I ain't wasting no more time. Here we go again. Here we go again. Though I keep searching for an answer, Ross, I never seem to find what I'm looking for. Oh Lord, I pray you give me strength to carry on, because I know what it means to walk along the lonely street of dreams. Here we go again. With Falkirk, ladies and gentlemen, after the sunshine, the rain always comes. We all know that. After two losses in a week, normal service has been resumed, Ross. I'm John McAnally, and this week, of course, looking back at the 3-0 loss to Dundee in the Cup, and more concerning, that 2-0 loss to Kelty in the league, right? But I didn't make it any of the games. I was working, so couldn't go to the Dundee game, and then I was away for the weekend. Couldn't make the Celtic game. However, I have a man stood by like Scrappy Doo at an MMA fight even, and that is Mr. Ross Wayne. Ross, how are you?
A week. It's been a brutal week, actually, because obviously we were quite confident after last weekend's game. We were speaking positively before the Dundee game. The Dundee fans that came on were worried, and then it's just not been two great games. I know we're going to get into it in a minute, but just as you said, here we go again.
Yeah, you're like a cold spring, Ross, and I can feel it. But before we get into it in a minute, there's a few bits of business that we need to deal with. First of all, on Falkirk Daft. Bairns Abroad, we've got plenty more that have come in over the last week or so. Hi guys, I'm following from Bangkok. In Thailand, been here for nearly 25 years and still follow the Bairns religiously. Usually watching YouTube once I'm back from the afternoon school run on a Tuesday afternoon with a couple of refreshments. Keep up the good work. All the best, Graham. So we're on in Thailand, in Bangkok.
That's ideal. Is that the first one we've had from Thailand so far?
First one from Thailand. So thank you very much for listening, Graham. And good to hear you're out there still supporting the Bairns. John Little gets in touch, says, afternoon, gents. Just a shout out to the podcast's quality. Listening from Taif in Saudi Arabia. I think it's Taif in Saudi Arabia. Am I right?
Brilliant.
In that? I don't know. Blair McKenzie listening out in Toronto, and Blair sent us a picture of him, and you can see the Toronto Tower in the background. There's him with his Falkirk face mask on. And a yes, sticking on his helmet. So thank you very much, Blair, for listening out there in Toronto. And finally, you know how we said we've got someone in Japan listening to us?
He got in touch, didn't he?
He did. Mackenzie Gurahamu. That's me in Japan. Keen to know if there's any other Bairns over here. Been here for 20 years plus and yet to meet another one. So if you are a Bairn in Japan, you can maybe get in touch with Mackenzie over there, and maybe we could have a Japanese Falkirk Supporter Society on the go. That'd be nice.
A wee link up like Celtic I've got, that would be all right.
I know, it makes you kind of jealous, Ross, doesn't it? You're just like all these Bairns listening far away, flung places, probably enjoying a lovely weather and just nice food. Sounds amazing, it's amazing. So thank you to everyone that got in touch about that. We're still looking for Falkirk celebrity fans. I've not tracked down any, and I have to hold up my hands here, Ross. I did say in last week's show that we had the Still Gamecast coming on to the radio station the other week there, and I didn't manage to get them. It was just too mental. It was like chaos because there was photographers, there was videographers, and then there was like heard in five people. So we had the full, it was basically everyone bar Greg and Ford. So it was like Sanjeev, Jane, Mark who plays Tam, Paul who plays Winston, Gavin who plays Bobby. So it was just mental. So I couldn't I had the scarf in my bag ready to come out, but it was just chaos. It was chaos. And what I didn't know last week as well, Miss Hooley and PC Plum from Ballymore were in as well. I could have got Miss Hooley. That would have been a belter. But that was just a surprise appearance. That was like a run-in from Miss Hooley on the show last week. So we've got that. So I'll keep my eyes peeled for any more celebrity guests coming into Clyde One, and we'll try and get them. But apologies that I failed, Ross.
No, listen, these things happen, but that's a shame, because I think we could have turned some of these guys, couldn't we? Maybe not the Celtic fans, but the rest we probably could have turned.
I think there's a good few Celtic supporters in the Still Game cast, but turning celebrities, that's what we need to do. Turn them from their teams into Falkirk supporters. We'll hopefully work on that. We were talking about the Suns 11 a couple of weeks. Yep. We did that for the last couple of weeks. We've got a new one.
We do. I think that's a great shout. I can't actually remember who said it.
Lennon Miller debuted, became Motherwell's youngest player. Lee Miller's son Lennon became the youngest player to debut for Motherwell and came on last week and played for Motherwell. So Lennon Miller is added to this Falkirk Suns 11. Love it.
He's added to the squad. What position is he? A striker like his dad? Or?
I think he might be a midfielder. Did you see the goal he scored for Scotland? I think it was the U18. Scored it from a halfway line or something like that. Unbelievable. Yeah,
maybe we'll get him. Actually, I was going to say maybe we'll get a chance to bring him on loan, but maybe not after his dad's left. So.
Well, I know. It'd be. Like, if he's as good as his dad, I mean, or even better than his dad, he's going to be some player, young Lennon Miller. So another one for the Suns 11, which is great. And talking about young players, Ross, we were thinking, who's the youngest player? With Falkirk, we were told it was Craig Sibbald. James Jenkin is refuting this, however. He says the youngest Falkirk player he thinks is Gary Smith. He's sure he was still at school when he played his first game.
Ooh. That's one to check. Have we checked it? Have you had a look yet?
No, I've not checked this, but you know, we need to speak to Michael White. Michael White, Falkirk's historian, will definitely know the answer to this question.
There's a good website, which I'm sure loads of people have used at some point, but it's called Better Medal, and it has like all the stats and stuff. While we're ongoing, I'll have a quick check to see if we can find out Gary Smith's... debut. So what are we thinking? What was Sibs again? Was he 16? 2 months or something?
4 days or something like that. It was right in my head. We've seen if we can go younger. I'll double check that. But yeah, while we're doing that, we'll check that. But James reckons it could be Gary Smith. So we shall see. Right. The big question on every Falkirk supporter, forget the two games, right? We're trying to forget them at the moment before we have to talk about them. Right. But the big chat this week on the Falkirk Daft Twitter was, what is the best chippy in the Falkirk area? We took your nominations from last week. So everyone's moaning, going, why is this not here? We only have four options on our poll on Twitter. That's all we could put up. And it was all the ones that were nominated by the Falkirk Daft listeners. So we put the best four up, and that's where it came from. So Balfour's in the bog. Everyone was going, why is Balfour's not there? But it's because we only had four options, and you should have asked for that last week. So the four options were, of course, Cellos, Bruno's, Land and Sea, and the Seaside. Now, I feel a bit like, you know, it's like I'm a celebrity, get me out of here now. We'll have to go all out and deck here, Ross.
Okay.
You know, it could be you. Cellos, it could be you. Bruno's. But we'll go in basically from the bottom to the top with 13.3%. It's my favourite, Cellos and Larbert. 14.6%. A firm favourite of the Stenny, Bruno's. So that was in third place. Then it's between the big two, Land and Sea versus the Seaside and Shield Hill.
Yeah.
There could only be one winner though. And with 46.6%, a very popular vote of the 310 votes cast, it was the Seaside and Shield Hill which won the best chippy in the Falkirk area. So well done to the Seaside. Shield Hill, we should get some sort of plaque made up.
Falkirk Daft rated.
Falkirk Daft rated chippy of the year, the Seaside and Shield Hill. And I tell you what, it's going to be worth a visit, Ross. I don't know if you saw this, and you can check this out on our Twitter, at Falkirk Daft. Joe McGuinness gave us this picture of what she said. The Seaside is epic. They recently did a pizza special with curry sauce as the base and fried halloumi on top. It was everything, says Joe. And she sent a picture of this and it looked the best thing I've ever seen.
I did see it. It did look nice, to be fair. Oh. Listen, do you think the Seaside would be able to do like a chicken special for Aidan Nesbitt, or do you think that would be possible?
Yeah, chicken or a steak special for Callum. Well done to the Seaside and Shield Hill. If you want to sponsor the podcast, guys, or give us, you know, for giving us away some punk, you can give us one of those pizza things. They look amazing. Yes, well done to them. So apologies to all the other chippies that missed out on the vote, but that was what was decided by the Falkirk Daft listeners. So there we go. Right, okay. Ross, not much on the old news from a Falkirk perspective at the moment. The women, let's talk about the women. They won 8-0 at the weekend.
Yeah, that's a huge result, isn't it?
I know, mental result. So well done to Falkirk women, 8-0 won there at the weekend. And obviously, they're still top of the league there.
So John, the other teams, obviously, and the foundation teams are all doing pretty well as well. I have to give a shout out to my nephew's team, one of the Falkirk young team. I think it's the 08s. They're doing really, really well, winning every week. So big well done.
Well, it's great. It's great to see all the, you know, the foundation teams and the community teams coming up through, and you know, hopefully one day we'll see some of these players filtering into the first team, you know, because that's what we want to get back to, isn't it?
That's the objective. The only other bit of news I remember seeing was obviously Falkirk put out a very lengthy supporters update on Friday.
Certainly did. Do you know what? The communication from the club has been good in that respect. They've been a lot better with that sort of stuff now. It was a very open letter to the supporters and identified. So it's great to see that actually happening now, isn't it?
Yep. Absolutely. It's, for years we seem to get nothing. And do you know, it's not just the recent board as well. I think the board prior to that had started off doing quite a bit of sort of better communications, or at least doing some communications. But I do think we're taking it to that next level now. It's great to see. And it's not just give us your money type posts, which always used to be a bugbear of mine, that it was just sales. There wasn't any other content or any other information coming out, but it is far, far different now. I think these videos that the match day videos they do now as well. Young Luke Maguire, absolutely fantastic. What an effort that goes into that. So, and obviously the rest of the Falkirk TV guys do a great job with the stuff, and I can only assume the limited resources and space that they would have had at places like Kelty on Saturday as well.
Absolutely. I mean, to recap, you know, just for, you know, they stated that their plans are to ensure a well-funded first team to maximise their chances of winning promotion, but growing income, tightly controlled costs and reducing operating costs, to continue to seek new investment to income to cover these operating losses, and to keep youth development under 16, under 18, moving up to the next level from January 2026, and to add a development squad by next season, which 2023-24. I mean, it was a really good update, like you say, and it seems that they are progressing. Looking at, you know, they're bringing on obviously a lot of new sponsors as well, which is great to see. So, you know, hopefully, you know, that brings more money to the club and can cover off those operating losses, as stated. But yeah, there seems to be a lot of big things happening, which is great to see. Tony Begg obviously coming in and working on the youth side of things as well.
500 members now of the Supporter Society. Obviously, we had Stuart and Paul on a few weeks ago. In fact, it was the first episode we did. And it's great to see that membership hitting 500 now. And do you know, it's a win-win, because the club obviously get more money coming on a monthly basis. But the fans deserve to have a proper voice at the table. So long may it continue, and hopefully that membership just keeps going up and up as well.
Still no word on the new director from the Falkirk Supporters Society, Ross?
Not that I've seen or heard yet. There's obviously, I think they will need to go to a vote for that, but no, I've not seen anything.
Have you heard of anyone putting their name forward for it?
No, I've not, mate. And I think I'm sure the guys would be happy for us to talk about it, but I think if there is people out there that think they can make a difference, get in touch with the Supporter Society, because let's face it, the last election that was run unopposed for Nigel. So if there are people out there that can make a difference to the football club and can take us where we all want it to go, I'm sure the guys will welcome that approach. So whether you're a member or not, hopefully they are a member, and hopefully loads of people that are listening do decide to join. But yeah, hopefully people will step forward, good people that have got the time and the passion to kind of make a difference.
It's interesting to see, I was reading into this kind of youth development squad and the obviously the plans for this development squad that we're going to be bringing 6 to 8 modern apprentices supplemented obviously by players from the first team and the best performing under 18s to make that developmental squad for next week. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses as the season goes. But yeah, things moving in the right way, if only we could get it right on the pitch. But we'll get into that just in a minute as we welcome our Falkirk Daft pundit for the day. We always like to welcome a guest pundit onto Falkirk Daft, and from the Posh Spice Supporters Club, it's our friend, Mr. Christopher Hind. How you doing, Chris?
Afternoon, guys. Doing well. How about you two?
Aye, good, thank you. Good, good, good. We're going to have to talk about the games now, unfortunately. We've done our first bit, Ross, there. We're now going to have to speak about the games. But first, Chris, focus on you. What's your Falkirk story? How did you get into the Bairns?
I've got my dad to thank for that, John. So first game was the 1986-87 season. First game in the Premier League, actually, for Falkirk. It was Falkirk against Motherwell. And my dad took me, and from that moment on, that's where it really started from. You know, obviously met you guys through going to Brockville as well. I don't think there was a part of Brockville I never went to. You know, with my dad, we started off in the centre stand. Quite a funny story, actually, from the first couple of games I went to. We played Aberdeen, a midweek match. I think it finished 3-3. It's a really noisy match, you know, under the lights at Brockville. You can imagine the atmosphere. And it was quite an angry game. You had Willie Miller trying to be referee. Alex Ferguson was still there at the time. What about Argy Bargy? And at one point, the noise in the centre stand got too much, and I burst out crying during the game. So my dad took me down to the Aberdeen end, the Watson Street end, because it was, you know, quieter there on the terrace, and actually walked past the dugouts, walked past Alex Ferguson, who gave me a ruffle of the hair to check I was okay. So that was an early memory for me. Yeah, it was good. But yeah, it's one story where I'm not afraid to admit I burst into tears at a Falkirk match, John. So that was the thing.
There's been plenty since, Chris.
Little did I know. But yeah, I've been going since 1986. As I say, going with you guys to the stadium every second Saturday. I'm admiring, John, your backdrop. That is fantastic.
Well, there's one thing that me and Chris share in common is our love for former Falkirk iconic hero is Neil Scally. And today, if you're watching the YouTube version, I've got the fantastic Daryl Duffy and Neil Scally holding God knows what it's called now, but the BMQ Cup, we're just going to say it was the Challenge Cup back then, up aloft. So I'd put that up especially for you, Chris, because of our shared love and passion for Mr. Neil Scally.
Thank you, John. That's much appreciated. I'm sure Ross remembers that game well. It's one of my fondest memories was when Neil Scally scored the leveler in that game, and Ross was jumping up and down, jumping into my arms, and I'm saying, John, hey, Ross, it was Neil Scally, and he refused to believe me. But it was
an absolute fluke of a goal.
That was not. It was a smashing strike. So, Scally aside, Chris, who's your favourite player?
Yeah, I was giving us a bit of thought, obviously, when I was going on this afternoon. You've got the guy in the wall behind me, you know, Simon is an obvious one. Other obvious ones like Crunchy, but the guy I'm going to go for is actually Mark Kerr. I think we were lucky enough to see Mark Kerr, you know, the beginning of his career and the end of his career. It was almost like watching, you know, two different versions of the same player. And I just think, you know, Mark as a captain, as a leader, when he came back to us was inspirational. And we've got a guy like that, you know, similar to him just now in Stephen McGinn, but, you know, we could definitely have done with someone like Mark Kerr over the last few years. And it was just a sad way that it all ended in respect of his relationship with Paul Hartley. But yeah, Mark Kerr would get my vote.
Yeah, no, great player. And our big question this week, Chris, is what's your favourite away day before we get into the games? What's your favourite away day?
Yeah, so probably partly linked to one of my favourite games, I think, would be Somerset Park down at Ayr. You know, all the cliches that go with it. It's a, you know, a stereotypical old style ground, great atmosphere. You know, I'm now at the stage in my life where I've been taking my son to the game, and one of the first away games we went to was down at Somerset Park, and he loved it as well. It was just so different. But I remember going down there. It was the first game under the Ian McCall era, 2002.
Yeah.
The previous season had been horrible. And we went down there, and there was such a buzz about the place, and they were one of the favourites for promotion with us that season. And we, you know, we scalped them. We beat them 3-1. We scored in the first couple of minutes, and you just left the ground thinking, this is going to be a great season. And that's how it went, thankfully. So Somerset Park gets my vote for all those reasons, John.
Good shout. It's a great shout.
That is a great shout, isn't it?
Right, we've kind of farted around it on and off. Right, let's just briefly touch on the Dundee game from last week. Chris, you made it up there. Ross, you made it up there as well. 3-0. Henderson came in for McGinn. From what I've seen from the highlights, looked real backs against the wall kind of performance. Didn't look like we had much of a sniff in, but you guys may disagree with that. What did you make of the game, Chris?
I left Dens Park feeling pretty positive. And I was talking to Ross about this earlier on today, actually. It almost feels like a positivity has dripped out a little bit following Saturday's result. You know, it's been a bit flat after that. But in respect to Dundee, I thought we did really well first half. I thought we more than matched them in the first half. We were comfortable knocking the ball around the park. We didn't create too many chances. You know, I think we had one fantastic chance where Callum Morrison should have hit the ball first time rather than trying to take an extra touch. You know, it was back to that point we spoke about in the podcast in terms of his decision making. And we had one sort of scramble in the second half where Ola nearly put one away. But yeah, we didn't really test their goalkeeper too much. I think the disappointment from the night was the goals that we lost. You know, the first couple in particular, they were cheap goals. You know, the poor kick out from Hogarth goes straight to their guy who plays a through ball for the first goal and then a free header for the second. That was disappointing. And I think it was one of those nights where when the first goal went in, we couldn't really see us scoring, unfortunately.
Yeah. What do you make? Henderson obviously came in for McGinn. A lot of people say he didn't look fit, Ross. What do you make of his performance?
No, he wasn't fit at all, unfortunately. He was blown out his backside after about 20 minutes. Do you know what the problem is? The bar's been set so high by McGinn. And obviously, and I like Henderson. I'm not going to say otherwise. I do like him. But he's obviously not fit. I know I've not been Hetherington's biggest fan either, but I would have started Hetherington. I think he would have been a far, far better fit on Tuesday night. We'll come on to Saturday in a minute, but I think he would have been a far, far better reason to play on Tuesday night. We missed McGinn, but we were almost a man down for a lot of the game because Henderson was chasing his tail.
Yeah, there's been a lot of criticism on that. Lowell and Burrell coming off the bench again in Dundee game. Ross, you thought they were worth a start on Saturday as well, didn't you, after that?
I thought they brought an energy to the team on Tuesday night when they came on, especially Burrell. I'm really, really liking him. It's not to say I don't like Lowell, but I think Lowell will come in at some point for Nesbitt or McGuffey, hopefully Saturday, if I'm being honest. Burrell, I think, has been doing really, really well. Allegri has been doing well as well, so I can understand why he's not been kind of starting. But Burrell came on, did really, really well, put himself about. He had a chance as well. He was a nuisance to the Dundee defence for the time he was on, but the game was kind of gone by that point, unfortunately.
Yeah, Chris, obviously, 2-0, you talked about it earlier. Do you think, is it just me, that we look weak on set pieces? Obviously, that the second goal came from a header, Hogarth, obviously, with the bad pass in the first one. But for me, I've always been a concern since we watched pre-season and we saw the goals we lost against Kilmarnock. It just looks like we're a bit weak on set pieces when we've got a big team there and we really shouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's been a bit of an Achilles heel, hasn't it, so far? I mean, like you say, the Kilmarnock game, we were both at that one, and I think 3 of the 4 goals we lost were from corner kicks or free kicks. I think, you know, through the league games so far, touch wood, it's been okay. There have been a few scares, but we've not lost too many goals. I mean, I don't know who was picking up the Dundee guy on Tuesday night, but it was one of their centre-backs. So, you know, you would think it would someone that would be allocated a marker, or if we were doing zone marking, it went wrong. But, yeah, it's something we need to cut out and soon. And I think going the other direction too, you know, as you said, John, we're a big team and I sort of feel like we should be scoring more from set pieces as well. You know, a game like last Tuesday night, it was obvious fairly early on we weren't going to get too many chances. So when we did get a chance at a set piece, you know, let's try and take advantage of that.
Yeah. So that was the 2-0. Obviously, Gary Oliver being sent off for a red card by handling on the line. Ross, you didn't think it was a red, did you?
I thought it was harsh. I can understand why he's given the penalty, but a red card, he literally covered himself. His hands weren't raised. I just didn't see it. I suppose the letter of the law is it's hit his hand, and yeah, I think was he on the line as well? I can't. Yeah. So listen, I get it, right? But pretty harsh. I think 2-0 would have been probably a fairer reflection in the game. I'm just glad, well, actually, when we were leaving last Tuesday night, I was glad that Gary Oliver wasn't obviously going to be suspended for the Saturday, which is always good because the league's the priority over the cup games. But it was never a 3-0 game. Dundee probably did have the better of the second half. I think we were the better team in the first half, if I'm being honest, because Chris will maybe disagree. But when the players went off at halftime, you actually thought, right, okay, if we just need a sniff, we just need a chance, and this could be our night. But it didn't come in the second half, and I'm not sure it was anything other than just Dundee being better than us. To be honest, I don't think we looked, other than Henderson, who was really, really struggling, I don't think anyone else was unfit or otherwise. I think they were just a better team in the second half.
Boy, Robin. Part of me wondered as well, Ross, whether there was a lack of belief in the team. You know, so we more than held our own in the first half, but you never really got that feeling that they really believed they could go on and win the game, you know. I think, you know, defensively we look good, and we've got some guys in there who I think are, you know, real leaders in the team, guys who really have a drive and a desire to win. I think as you go further forward through midfield and attack, do we have players of that character? You know, I mean, I know we've sort of picked on them a lot in recent weeks, but you know, Nesbitt and Morrison are maybe two examples of that, where they can drift in and out of a game, but do they really have the grit between their teeth to go and make a difference? And I just sort of felt that was missing a little bit last Tuesday, was actually realising that Dundee, yeah, okay, they're probably a bit better than us, but they weren't world beaters. You know, if we'd just gone out and given it a go, we could have got perhaps a different result.
And do you know that? And that's the thing. See, because there was such a big crowd up there as well, what was it, just under 1,000 went up, backed them well before kickoff. Brilliant atmosphere, not helped by the bloody Dundee police, to be honest. Absolute shower at arseholes, to be honest. But I think the fans did their part, and it's a shame that the players didn't kind of feed into that more so in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. And I would defend Liam Henderson on one aspect. At the end of the game, I was there with my son, who's 9 years old, and at that age, he worships the players, you know. And at the end of the game, he was down near the front applauding them, and Liam Henderson was the only guy that came across and gave him a high five. That made his night. So I'll back up Liam Henderson on that one. Don't disagree, Ross, that he shouldn't have started, that Hetherington should have played. But in, you know, in his defence, he was only...
No. Listen, I love to see that. Hand. No, fair play to him. I like to see that. I think players, and the most they do, probably more so when we win, but it's probably just as important when we do get beat that they kind of... Yeah. Appreciate the fans travelling that way, especially young kids as well, that time of night.
You're quite critical of the referee, Ross. You didn't think he had a good game?
No, I didn't think he was good. I forgot his name. Oh,
Colin Stephen.
Yeah. I thought he was hopeless, to be honest. It's like, I know we criticise the refs in League One, but even some of the so-called better refs are just like, I don't know what game they watch sometimes. And like, his arm didn't even go our way at all in the first half. And I think the first time it did, it was the most sarcastic, loudest cheer of the night from anybody in the stadium was for the Falkirk fans. So, no, I thought he was hopeless. The penalty and the red card just kind of topped off my night in terms of my thoughts on him, to be honest. He's definitely my Falkirk dafty of the night from that perspective. But do you know the... Dundee weren't great, just as Chris said. They weren't fantastic. They had a couple of decent players. The young lad, I think he was 19 or 20-year-old, Lyle Cameron or something. He was brilliant on the night, and it probably was the difference between the two teams, to be honest.
Yeah. One good thing did come of the game, however, was a new chant for Allegria, Ross, which went to the tune to Shakira's Waka Waka, It's Time for Africa.
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I had it in my head all the way home, and I had it, and I was working obviously the next day, and I had it in my head all day, and I'm sitting going, how can I get this out? So fair play to the young team, and maybe the not so members of the young team that have put that together. I'm looking at you, sort of Willie Lang and Stevie Beveridge.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear that at East End in a couple of weeks' time, hopefully at the stadium this week as well. Right, so just getting views from everybody else on the game. Game starts off saying, shameful performance, to be honest. Done so well in the group, just to throw it away like that was disappointing. Luckily, I see the league as our priority. Now, these came in right after the game. James says, game could have gone either way before the keeper header leading to the first goal. Fell apart after that, really. Would you agree? We looked like, until Nicky made that mistake, we looked like it could have went on and won it, yeah?
Yeah, we were comfortable to that point in time, Johnny, and it's just a shame that we lost that goal through that mistake.
Yeah. David says, too many players didn't show up tonight. Allegri let himself to be bullied off the park. Henderson had a stinker. He couldn't tie McGinn's laces. Morrison went AWOL, and Nesbitt went back to being Nesbitt. Dundee looked bigger, faster and stronger, and PS, the ref was absolutely honking. That comes from David.
Yep, Danny says, disappointed but not disheartened. Good first half. We arguably shedded it and fell away in the second. I would agree with that. Really hope this doesn't become a trend after Saturday and Tuesday's second half displays. A real indicator of the level we have to reach. But back to league business again now.
Yeah. Nesbitt, I mean, we'll get on to him, I guess, when we talk about Kelty in just a minute. But Nesbitt, again, very average at Dundee.
Yeah, he didn't do much, to be honest. He lost a few midfield battles and he kind of huffed and puffed a little bit. But as Chris said earlier, the midfield were just pretty anonymous and Morrison didn't really do as much as he would normally have done as well. Like, he had the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, he's been tracking back, working really hard, winning the balls back and stuff. That was just, I wonder if he maybe had a bit of a mental barrier thinking, oh, it's Dundee, the Championship team. I don't know if that was his mental block on the night as well. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, it's not a bad shout. I think it's frustrating with Morrison and Nesbitt, but I think that's probably why they get a lot of attention, because I sort of feel that there's good players in there. You know, guys that could really tear our league apart. I know that obviously Dundee's different being the League Cup game, but you know, the Sheffield looked upon last week as an opportunity to go and show what they could do at that higher level. But just back to that point you made about belief. Never really got that impression that they fully believed in the chance to win it. Nesbitt was busy. He put himself about. His work rate was never in doubt. But as we discussed a few weeks ago, it's decision-making, both for him and Morrison, that let him down on the night.
Yeah. Let's move on to Kelty then on Saturday. Chris, you didn't make the game. Ross, you were able to watch it. Obviously, 2-0, Cardell, McGill for Kelty, changes, Henson retained his place inside and Oliver dropped to the bench as he brought McGinn back in, and that meant moving McCann out to right back from left back, as John McGinn said he wanted to put Finn Yeats back into midfield. Ross, straight off the bat, critical of the changes as you have been in weeks gone by.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm dumbfounded as to why there was so many changes to try and shoehorn one unfit player in, if I'm being honest. There's obviously an argument there. Was he shoehorning Henderson in, or was he making sure Mackie got to left back? There's probably a counter argument for both, but either way, it didn't work. It failed massively. We had such a strong sort of base the week before against Queens. Defensively, I know we lost 3 goals, but defensively we weren't the worst up at Dundee either. And for me, that was the worst game of the season so far. We at least played half decent against Airdrie. We had a decent first half. That was just, from the first whistle, not good enough. Not good enough at all.
Yeah. First goal, Chris, obviously came more defensive mistakes, I think it's fair to say, for the first goal. And then obviously the second goal, it's poor from Nicky Hogarth. I think he'll hold his hand up for that as well. You've just seen the highlights as well, Chris. Well, what did you make of it?
You can only go with so much in the highlights, John. Like you say, it was 2 poor goals that we lost. I think a couple of areas of concern for me, aside from the result, one was John McGlynn's interview, and he was quite critical, rightly, I think, in terms of the players' work rate and desire to win the game. And that should be a given. You know, any game they play, that should be a given. You know, they were at pains to say after the Dundee match that it wouldn't affect anything come this Saturday. Now, I'm not saying it did, but they certainly didn't put in a performance on Saturday that was anywhere near the levels they should have been at. And I think the second thing of concern for me, and one that surprised me, was at the team lineup. So not in terms of the defensive setup, but more they dropped Gary Oliver to the bench and, you know, moved Finn Yeats into midfield. Because I think with Oliver, he was providing a good link between the midfield and attack. I just felt with dropping him and bringing in Yeats, who's more defensively minded, it was a defensive move in my mind. You know, you're going to Kelty, who have scored one goal all season prior to Saturday, go out and attack them. And I sort of felt we'd left, you know, Allegri isolated up top through that decision.
Yeah. Nesbitt, again, not a great game, Ross. He's went back. We don't know if he's eaten steak or chicken.
No, there was neither of that on Saturday. He was, do you know, he's either, we can't afford to have a player playing well one every five games. We just can't afford it. Same with McGuffey. In fact, the full, let's not be about the rush. The full team on Saturday weren't good enough, right? And I could sit here and slag the ones for last year. The newer ones were just as bad on Saturday. However, it isn't good enough to be turning up for one good game in four or five. It's not going to get us out of the league at all. As Chris has just said as well, Kelty had scored one goal, and I'm pretty sure it was an OG before Saturday. And we go and do that. McGlynn mentions a change of attitude, that they weren't up for it. Well, part of that's going to be down to him and the coaching staff. And I've been a huge, huge backer of McGlynn, and I'm still a huge backer of him. But something's went wrong towards the end of last week at the training, and then on Saturday, I don't know what's happened within the group, but it was just unacceptable on Saturday. And I'm not saying we should never be beaten off anybody, because we've no divine right to be winning every single game, but losing like that to a team that's barely got a foot in the door of League One, they've barely scored a goal. They got a point off Dunfermline a few weeks back, probably because it was a local derby and the place was full. Don't get me wrong, I fully expected Joe Cardle or Higginbottom to try and do what they normally do on Saturday, but we've obviously let them, and they're two wee shites. We shouldn't have let them do it.
Yeah. It seemed like the game was kind of lost in midfield from what you saw in the highlights and from what you're hearing from our supporters. Would you agree with that, Ross?
Yeah, probably. It's just I've never been like, we've obviously had so much bad experiences over the last few years. And as you said at the start of the podcast, John, you think we've turned a corner. And I think McGlynn said as well, we can't afford to be getting a reality check every 3 or 4 weeks, because if we do that, we're going to lose too many games and we're not going to get out of this league. So whatever's going wrong every 3-4 weeks, it's going to have to be hammered in. It's made Saturday against Alloa, really, it's a must win. And then we go to Easton Park a week after, and anything less than 3 points is going to be deemed no good enough.
Yeah, right. But Chris, strange decision to move McCann out to right back. I think that was the kind of the big decision that everyone's been questioned, especially Leon's played really, really well. Even, like you say, Dundee, he had a decent game at Dundee as well. Strange ones, Chris.
Yeah, strange one. I mean, I guess if you take a step back and you look at it, the three of the back four were playing in their natural positions, and that's, you know, perhaps not been the case previously. Mackey playing in the centre, Yates playing at right back. You know, they're both not in their natural positions. So I sort of get the logic behind it. Obviously, it didn't work. You know, he's trying to fit McCann and Mackey in the same team. He's obviously signed Henderson as, you know, one of his first signings for the club. He obviously really rates him and wants to get him back playing as soon as he can. As I mentioned earlier, for me, higher at the park as well, it was the wrong call to drop Oliver. You know, it's fine. Even if we had been defensively sound on Saturday, you know, where were the goals coming from? So it was a strange one for me at both ends of the park.
Yeah. Would you drop, say, McGuffey or Nesbitt then in that case, Chris?
Yes, either or, to be honest. I think he likes Nesbitt. You know, Nesbitt seems to play 90 minutes every week. You know, sometimes there's substitutions, you expect Nesbitt's number to go up, and it's not. So yeah, one of those two for me would be a candidate to have a spell on the bench.
Yeah, certainly, obviously, he made the early changes with Burrow and Lowell coming on off the bench. Did they have as much an effect on the game as they had previously, Ross?
I think that, again, they've showed enough to warrant a start. Whether he starts them on Saturday, I don't know. Like Chris has just said, I think probably going to be McGuffey that's dropped to the bench for maybe Gary Oliver. For me, I would give Nesbitt a shot on the bench as well, bring Lowell in. Burrow, I think, has done really well. Allegri has done well, though, so it's probably a toss of a coin between the two. Mm. I think Burrow probably deserves a start. That's Allegri I now had a few starts. Have we got an agreement with Rangers that he has to start if he's fit? I don't know. but we just weren't up for the fight on Saturday. We missed. We were all over the place in the midfield, especially, and that's where it was lost. They were just up for it more, but similar to Dundee, but Dundee actually had a bit of quality about them in places. Kelty are not a good football team. They're gonna go down, and that's 3 points dropped on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, I think as well with the formation, John. So I mean, I know it's a bit of an in joke amongst our group of friends, but why not play with both Burrell and Allegri up top? You know, go with two up front.
Yeah,
why not?
I know. Why not? He obviously he doesn't like that system. I mean, he's been very. Is that four? It's not even a 4-3-3 as such, is it? It's like 4-2-1.
4-2-3-1 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be that way. But do you know what, Chris? Me and you have said it. I'd be quite happy if we went 4-4-2, especially at home against Alloa, and went for that. Anyway, let's hear from John McGlynn, the manager.
John, I thought we were maybe a little bit lethargic today. I don't think we quite got going the way we have in other games. What would you put that down to?
Not exactly sure, but I do agree with you. We were off it. We gave them encouragement because we're very slack at the back. You know, we've just spoke about the dressing room, so I don't think anything I say here is anything that the guys have not heard in there with regards to, you know, we've got the ball in comfortable possession at the back and we end up giving away a corner kick without any pressure from the opposition. And that just gives the opposition ammunition. It just gives them encouragement. And unfortunately, we continue to do maybe things not as badly as that, but we continue to make it easy for them. You know, they were set up to press us, and we played into their hands, and we certainly not gifted them, but we allowed them corner kick. You know, actually, I think it would have broke from we had a free kick at our end, and we lose the ball at the edge of their box, and they go up the park and get a corner kick. From that corner kick, they score. I think. You know, we've obviously not had a chance to look back on the analysis yet, but I'm thinking that was the case, which is poor, because we work on a free kick and we've really got to get the ball. And, you know, it was a worse free kick. Callum should be able to get a strike at goal. He's kind of get caught in the ball there. They broke up the park, get a corner kick. And then the melee is cleared, it's played back in again, and then they get the break where Cardo shoots. No, it's poor. It's poor. It's pure defending. And, you know, the second goal, again, not seeing it back, but it looks like very, very straightforward. It's a ball down a channel. The boy McGill's got it, continues, shoots, and Nicky's beat the near post. They shouldn't get beat the near post. So, again, that's not anything that we've not just spoke about in the changing room, so I'm certainly no throwing anyone under the bus, players under the bus. We realise that we've got to accept these things. You know, we win as a team, we lose as a team. You know, as a team, we weren't good enough. And individual, we weren't good enough. We didn't win enough second balls. We didn't win enough individual battles. And, you know, it comes down to attitude, you know. Our attitude wasn't right. Otherwise, you know, we would have had them on the back foot and creating opportunities. There was a little bit of spark at the start of the second half. Roman Burrell has done really well to get beyond their defence, gets along the byline, and again I have not seen it back yet, but I think it's a decent chance. I think it kind of like breaks back to him, and must come off when we go for a by kick, because obviously we didn't get a corner out of it. So I'm just trying to look where I was from the dugout and bodies in front of me. And then you know, there was bits and pieces even in the first half. There's a ball across the face of the goal, I think it was, might have been Callum on the other side, plays it across, I think, and Sean Mackey looks like he's very close to it, or it looked like he was very close to it from the dugout. Sometimes it's deceiving, but again, that's it 0-0, and I think if you get a side foot on it, it's a tapping very, very close to the goal. And these moments can turn games, but we didn't get these moments, and you know, I can't really complain with regards to the result. You know, Kelly deserved their win. And it's extremely disappointing and angry with the performance.
John there talks about attitude, and to be fair, he puts the blame firmly at some players' doors when you hear that interview there. He doesn't really hold back. I mean, you can tell he's raging. You can tell he's absolutely raging there.
I like him, honestly. Like, he talks like he's a punter. He does, he talks like a punter, and I don't mind that at all, because he gives you the impression that he's in it with you, and that's exactly what we want to hear. I would like him to have said the one thing he didn't say that I would like a whole
hand up for the change.
Why we made changes when we didn't need to make it. He shoehorned Mackey into No, let's be real. Mackey has had two poor games in a Falkirk jersey. Morton away, Morton away, and then on Saturday, bring him back into the centre half if that's what we're going to do, and keep McCann at left back. I know we've got a right back issue because the PE teacher's signing his own bloody sick notes these days by the sound of it. And Yates, as much as he's not a right back, he got ran over on Saturday, and I love the guy, honestly. He's such a great wee player, but he's new, he's young,
yeah.
He's showing form at right back. Well, we need him. I would have kept him there.
Yeah. Interesting, obviously, the transfer deadline's been and gone now. Ross, you created a rumour on our Twitter about Jason Thompson from Arbroath potentially as a right back coming in. Do you think there's anyone out there that we could bring in as cover at right back? Because that seems to be where we're at our weakest.
I would like to have hoped. And he might still, because we can still do domestic loans up until the end of this month. So fingers crossed they can. The reason, not that I had any intel, because I didn't, but Jason Thompson, obviously he's getting on a bit, but he would have been brilliant cover for the season. And he's an experienced head. He knows the division. And he's obviously signed for Kelty. Now, granted, Kelty's probably part-time, so he's doing that with his day job. But I think we do need to look at the right-back position. It might be that Yeats plays there until such time as we do get someone in. Because Williams is as much use as he is as a poor performing Nesbitt and McGuffey, because we're only getting one game out of him every 4 or 5 weeks. It's not good enough.
Yeah, you're absolutely
there
right.
There has to be, you would imagine, a young right-back at a Premier League club, for example, that they might want to send out on loan. And that has to be someone that we can look at, because the loan market's still open, I think, through September.
Was there not a rumour on Friday or Saturday morning, I think it was, the Scottish Sun or the Daily Record or something had said that we're after a young right-back for Motherwell, beg your pardon?
Right. Yeah, I saw that, yeah. So yeah. There has to be someone out there. You know, there can't be a shortage of right-backs in the Scottish football. You wouldn't think, you know, someone can come in and do a job. It's just the one position. You know, he's made some great signings across the rest of the park. It's the one position that sort of stands out. And I did think it was ironic, you know, that obviously Williamson's not featured since his, you know, Cafu-esque run against Peterhead. The club changed the social media backgrounds to Ryan Williamson. He's not been seen since. So, yeah, maybe they have to change that background again.
Did anybody else get the feeling from the interview with McGlynn, though? I think it was the pre-match interview last week. It almost sounded like Williamson was kind of almost declaring himself not fit. Have I read too much into it, or...? That was kind of the feeling I got.
Really? I didn't pick that up, but I'll have to go back and listen to it. I mean, you just hope that he can get back fit, obviously, after his Cafu-esque performance against Peterhead, you know, and he comes back in at that form again. Because we're really, I think that's where the whole dimension of the team is upset because of this one position. It really, like you say, Chris, moving things about, chopping and changing, you know, when you could probably, you know... Again, Finn Yeats is a young guy. You really want him playing every game as well, as a young guy. First season, first team football. You know, obviously, bringing guys like that in and out seems to work better for a young player. So, Henderson. I'll be interested. We'll talk about the Iowa game a bit later on, who would start, but. Yeah, he's obviously wanting to get Henderson to that side, but do you put him into midfield, or is he just a centre-half? For me, he was signed as a centre-half.
Yeah, definitely. You know, performance-wise against Dundee, he's not a midfielder. And I sort of felt sorry for him. He'd been asked to do a job in a position he's not used to. And he tried hard, did his best, but he's not a midfielder, no. Definitely not.
The thing is, though, that's where Arbroath played him, didn't they? Arbroath were playing him in midfield, and he obviously played a fairly decent part in their run last year. I just think the issue is he's no fit. I think he's probably a capable midfielder. I think he's different to McGinn. He might complement McGinn and have the two of them in there, but he's just not fit. And why we're playing him 50, 60% fit, I've no idea. And if I'm being honest, it's part of the reason we've just lost the last two games.
Yeah, interesting. Let's see what the other supporters are saying about it. Grant says, fucking brutal. Set up and line up wrong. Agreeing with you, Ross. Played too many long balls at times and simply got outfought by a part-time team who wanted it more. A shambolic display and, quite frankly, not good enough. Not holding back from Grant.
No, here, here. agree with every word. Tess says, why is McGlynn forcing Henderson into the team? A whole team has been changed to do this, and it's not acceptable. I'm just baffled why anyone would change a winning team.
Yeah, agreeing with Chris there. Callum says, dreadful first half, awful goals to lose, poor team selection. Second half was slightly improved and probably should have scored if Burrell scored that chance at start second half. We might have turned it around, in my opinion. Lowell and Burrell have to start next week. Would you agree with that, boys? You've already said Burrell, you're not too sure, but you put Lowell in for maybe McGuffey or Nesbitt Ross, yeah?
I would.
Chris, you thinking...
I think, you know, Lowell's an obvious replacement for Nes, but you know, and you saw that when he came on against Coote South. There's a buzz in the crowd. You know, he scores a great diving header, just gets the atmosphere around the place going as well. So I think to bring those guys in would, you know, result in a better atmosphere on Saturday as well, get a bit of a buzz going around the place again.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good shout. I think it needs it, because we've now had two losses. Don't get me wrong, had we won on Saturday, I don't think there would have been, because we all expected probably not to get past Dundee. But to lose the way we did on Saturday, we now need a big win and a big performance against Alloa.
Yeah, absolutely. Craig, the whole problem stems from the right back, as we've been saying. Moving players and systems to cover a player made of glass. Should call him the tampon one weekend, three out. Next bit was awful again. This was three weekend decisions.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. I love that.
He's going from the PE teacher to the tampon.
Maybe we should get the commercial team, see if they can get a sponsorship. Jay says, bad day at the office. Just one of those games. There was imbalance in the team today, especially in defence. Looked better when Lowell came on, but really, really poor. Not the end of the world, however.
Oh, that's a nice optimistic. It was the end of the world for everyone on Saturday. Even when that result came in, I was straight on there. I was like, gee, you know, it's just like kick a bin time on Saturday when that result came in. I was down in Shrewsbury, Jesus. You the man, says Groundhog Day, there's a fucking curse hanging on this club. Come on, Kelty Hearts. Was a chance to go second. I put money on Big Connor putting one past us on Saturday. And what about that Scunthorpe game? You the man, not a happy boy.
No, he's not a happy boy. See, he's right, actually. I forgot about Big Salmon, who he just said, well, he obviously caused us a problem last season a couple of times, but we need to beat Dunfermline in a couple. I'm actually, I'm trying to think who Dunfermline I've got this weekend.
I don't know.
I would need to look. Yeah. But if they could drop points ahead of Saturday as well, that would be good. Stuart says three or four back line changing was madness. McCann and Morrison have been good the last three games. Why take the threat away? Physically bullied all day. He's right as well.
Dunfermline have got quite away this Saturday, so they've not been great. Doogie says embarrassing, no midfield, players hiding, second to every ball, very little fight from anyone, defence too slow to distribute the ball.
And last but not least, Peter says, very strange game. Unfortunately, set up and line up wrong today. A total nothing game, and we gifted them goals. 3 points thrown away, sadly. I don't know why we changed the winning team. Management and players culpable today. Very frustrating. Hey ho, onwards and upwards. Come on, you Bairns.
Well, that's a nice way to end there from Peter. Right, let's look back at the week at a whole then, boys. First of all, I'm going to ask you a hard question, which is, who is the Falkirk Daft rated player from that week just gone?
Easy one for me. Both games, I'm going to say Leon McCann.
Chris?
I can't comment on the Kelsey game, John. I never saw it, but I would say Cole Donaldson from the Dundee game. I thought he was outstanding, took the captain's armband, did really well. He'd get my vote for last Tuesday, and I'll agree with Ross. I trust Ross's opinion for the Kelsey game. Go McCann.
Yeah, right, okay. Falkirk Dafty, probably a harder one to choose, easier one to do, but there might be a few candidates this week.
There's a few candidates. I think for me, maybe a little bit harsh, but I'd give it to John McGlynn. I think for all the changes, you know, the change at Dundee in terms of bringing Henderson into the starting lineup midfield, and then obviously all the changes we spoke about at Kelty. So for me, I think harsh as it might be, it's John McGlynn this week.
John McGlynn. Ross?
Kelty, John McGlynn for his changes that he's made, and the players for their, obviously the way they've obviously just turned up at Kelty thinking, this will be a nice easy win. Look at the ground, look at the team, anything far from it. Dundee, probably the ref, but as I mentioned earlier on, I thought the Dundee police and stewards were an absolute farce on Tuesday night, searching kids, searching young laddies, searching old guys. It was brutal. I know I said to you, John, it reminded me, remember Police Academy back in the day, right, we're going to have a cavity search on the way in. I thought, what is wrong with these guys that they think are Falkirk fans notorious or something for this? And there was issues over flags being removed, which was an absolute joke as well. Although there's a bit of a rumour that wasn't Dundee and it was the Falkirk security guy, which is a bit of a joke as well. But so between the ref and the Dundee police, we'll go with it.
Right, okay, there we go. A couple of Falkirk Dafty nominations there. Well, that's it for looking back at those games. Chris, thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate that. If you want to be like Chris, be a pundit on Falkirk Daft, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can just email us at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So every week in Falkirk Daft, Ross, we ask the big question, don't we, that needs answered this week. John Mitchell got in touch with the podcast and said, listen to the podcast. Ross is wrong with the Challenge Cup. Getting a away draw to an Irish Welsh team, it was one of the highlights of his season. Now, I didn't make it over to Sligo, but John says he was there and it was one of the best FFC trips ever, even if there was only 80 of them, said it was absolutely brilliant. So, inspired by that, I thought we'd ask the question this week, what's the best away day for a Falkirk supporter? Ross, do you want to lead us off? What are you going for? What ground do you like going to?
I love an away day at Easton Park, obviously, because I think most people would probably have that in their sort of top one or two anyway, right? So, aside from Easton Park, which I think is going to be brilliant in a couple of weeks' time it's a tie. All right, so I'm going to go for Hearts at Tynecastle, the day out. Going to Edinburgh, getting a few pints and the atmosphere around the ground. It's a proper football ground as well. And Chris has already mentioned it as well. So down at Ayr at Somerset Park, old school terracing, good day out to everyone that goes down. Yeah. You're underneath the shed at the end. So it's pretty loud and stuff as well. So, yeah, Ayr and Tynecastle for me. What about you?
Yeah, I'm nobody ever driven to Ayr, so I've only been down there in the car, so I've not had that kind of away day experience with getting the train down and stuff like that. I would definitely want to do that when we play them next. But, yeah, I love a wee trip to Tynecastle because it's just great. Off at Haymarket, yep. You know, you can go up to a couple of pubs on the way up Gorgie Road. And, I think you do it. Got to put a shot. I quite like a wee trip to Thistle as well, just because you jump, get on the train, underground out there, walk up, and there's a couple of good pubs on the way up to Thistle as well. It's a decent wee way out that.
Good shout out, yep. Good shout out for Thistle.
Wander down into the West End as well after the match, which is decent as well. So we shout out to Thistle as well for an away day. But everyone has been in touch with their favourite away days. And that's a great shout. I should put this in. Graham says, Montrose, easy. Direct train from Haymarket, near home, good pubs, ground close to the Sound Centre, and decent pies as well. Dunfermline close second. But Montrose away is a great wee day out.
Montrose is actually that could be up there with Ayr as well, actually, for a kind of...
Aye, because you get to get trained at wee change at Stirling and then you're up. Yeah. And it's like Montrose High Street. Some great wee pubs in Montrose High Street. And it's like my pals, Mark, who's been on the podcast, is a big Montrose supporter. So it's always good having that bit of banter going up there. And we end up in the supporters club the last time. It was good crack, you know. So that's a great shout, Graham.
Good shout by Graham, yep. Craig, he agrees with a couple of hours as well. East End Park or Tynecastle. Any trips over 2 hours all blur into one, to be honest.
Yeah. Colin goes, any day at Hampden's hard to top. Vaduz was the best away trip ever, though.
Well, obviously, I know we talked about Vaduz, so you and I both missed it. That's a tough one. Is it just me, though? I know I'm a big Scotland fan. I love going to Scotland games and stuff. But Hampden is, like, in terms of getting to the ground, going to the ground, it's good for going with the boys and hitting a couple of pubs and stuff, but in terms of away day, you kind of lose it. Apart from a big Scotland game, or obviously I know we've had a couple of big Falkirk games and stuff here, but it's not. I don't know if it would ever be up
Yeah.
There, to be honest.
The best one I ever went to at Hampden was the Dunfermline semi-final. Just, I think it was the night out after we went into Glasgow City Centre and had an absolute tear-up. It was brilliant.
Yiddo, who I know well, he's done a few good ones that I think we'll all agree with as well. So Dingwall is his top. A day trip up there, the Mallards, which is obviously right at the, as soon as you come off the train, you're on the pub. You're in the pubs.
I've never done Dingwall.
John, you need to do it, honestly. It's brilliant. Tynecastle, he mentions, and Dunfermline in that order. So Dingwall, Tynecastle, Dunfermline.
Yeah, Dale says in this league it will always be the Fifers. Very popular answer. Overall, Snecky was always a good day night out. That's where I had my stag do up in Inverness. We won 1-0, and certainly a good night out. That's a good day out.
I remember that one as well. Sammy says love day away. However, Dunfermline is hard to beat.
Yeah, everyone's going for that. I take it everyone's just going to Elizabethan for a couple of weeks' time then. That's the go-to pub, isn't it? For everyone.
It looks like four or five buses are already booked in. Obviously, ours are as well from Elliot's, John, and or our bus from Elliot's is. So I think it'll be pretty busy that day. The supporter society guys have sort of spoke to the pub owner as well, and the place is reserved for Falkirk fans, which is pretty good. So hopefully it'll be a nice weather day and we can get in the beer garden as well. That'd be good.
Fingers crossed. Pete, Montrose as well, not too far, but not good, but far enough. Decent pubs close to the ground, plus an off-licence right next to where the buses park. The perfect away day.
Oh, love it. All right, we've got Bruce as well. Tynecastle, or Easter Road, then a wee donder down to Rose Street on the way home for a pint.
Beautiful, beautiful. So thanks very much for all your responses on this week's big question.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So every week on Falkirk Daft, we look ahead to the match coming up, and this week is no exception. And we like to invite one of the supporters from said team onto the podcast. And they've just started the podcast this year as well. Please welcome from the Wasp Nest, it's our Wasp supporter, Kevin Gallagher. How you doing, Kev?
I'm good, thanks, John. Thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate it. It's great to see. I mean, we've said this, we've had quite a few guys from other podcasts on. It's great to see in League One an emergence of like fans media coming as well. So it's great that you guys have started off one as well.
Yeah, I think there's a place for it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's good to see there's a couple there that have been established for a few years now. So it's good to see the other kind of teams doing it as well.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for joining us, Kevin. So 4-2 against Clyde at the weekend, 3-1s and 3 losses for our this season. It's been a bit topsy-turvy for you.
Yeah, pretty sums it up pretty well, to be honest. It's been kind of stop-start. I think the only real game that's been a big disappointment so far was the defeat at home to Edinburgh. But I think when you kind of look how Edinburgh have done in general, I think they've surprised a few people. So that's the only real disappointment we've had. Certainly last couple of weeks, 9 goals in 2 games. It's been a lot better. There's a bit of momentum starting now. I will say 4-2 on Saturday, but we weren't great. Certainly the first half, Clyde absolutely battered us. We were lucky to go in level then. But yeah, it's another 3 points. And as I say, it just keeps that sort of momentum going.
Yeah, it's a topsy-turvy. You say the word topsy-turvy. It is a total topsy-turvy league, isn't it? It just seems that points can be... Oh, but you said you got turned over by Edinburgh, then we went and beat Edinburgh. And it just seems to be that way. And then obviously we had a terrible result there at the weekend against Kelty, but... It's very topsy-turvy is how you describe League One.
Yeah, it's been quite surprising this year. I think, I mean, Dunfermline, at the top half, Dunfermline are probably the only side that have probably started as you'd kind of expect. And then at the bottom half, I think Peterhead is kind of what we thought was going to be from them. The rest has been a bit of a surprise. I mean, Kelty, I would say, has been a surprise. And certainly, as I say, Edinburgh, I mean, they've really kind of taken and you know, to League One like a duck to water. I think that's been great the way they've come into the league. But yeah, it's a bit, I mean, their result against Airdrie on Saturday just shows you, you know, you can get any result, you know, in the games from week to week.
So it's a weird one with Edinburgh, because just that was going to be my point as well. Edinburgh didn't look great at all, obviously, against us. They lost to Dunfermline as well. And then they're going here, there and everywhere and scoring a few goals. Obviously, that was a big scoreline against Airdrie as well.
Yeah, I mean, certainly against ourselves, they were very, very good. Aloha weren't great that day, I would say that, but I mean, there was no, you know, no qualms about the result. Edinburgh were really, really good, a lot better than they probably expected. I think, and John Robertson up front, I think they've got a cracking striker there, and I think he'll, you know, if he stays sort of injury free, I think he'll keep banging them in this year. It's been good to see that. I think that there was a lot going on with them, obviously, in the summer behind the scenes, kind of off the park, and it's good to see that they've kind of, you know, they've put a playing squad in place that's certainly able to compete.
Certainly. Your playing squad's looking all right as well, though, Kev. Talk us through the kind of danger men for Iowa this season.
Yeah, it's we've just literally just done an episode from our side, and we did a bit on the kind of transfer window. It was a surprisingly busy day for Iowa last the end of last week. So, kind of danger men, we looked kind of sort of 4 weeks ago, and I think there was a concern about where are the goals coming from in the Iowa team. You've got the likes of Connor Salmon that, you know, you guys all know well. He's a good striker, but he's not a prolific goal scorer. And Ross McKeever is quite a similar player. Again, he's not going to score you tons of goals. So there was a bit of a concern about where the goals were going to come from. We brought in our wild card signing of the season was a guy from Ross Vale, Brad Roden. So we brought him in. He scored a few in pre-season and brought him in at the start of the year. And he started on the bench to kind of, you know, the first few games, came on against Kelty and got a double, and then started against Peterhead, got a goal and assist in that game, and got a goal and assist against Clyde on Saturday as well. So, I mean, Brad's really on fire just now. Alongside that, as I say, Salmon's not renowned as a prolific goal scoring machine, but I think he's up to 8 goals this season. He's really, really firing on all cylinders just now. So I think on Saturday ahead, it's going to be interesting who actually starts up top for Iowa. On the deadline day, we brought in Kieran Offord on loan from St Mirren there. He came off the bench for about half an hour on Saturday and scored one and essentially created another, although it went in off a Clyde defender. So there's another option there. He might come in for Brad Roden. We don't know. It'd be unfortunate on Roden to be dropped because he's certainly played well just now. And they also brought in Luke Donnelly as well from XR Broth. Again, he's not one that I think is going to be scoring a lot of goals for us, but I think he would look to create. I think looking a little bit kind of deeper back, when Stefan Skugel started the season really, really well, he kind of picked up from where he left off last season. He then picked up a couple of knocks and missed the last couple of games, but he actually came on as a sub on Saturday there. So I've got a sneaky feeling he might start this week. So I think that's where our main kind of creative force is coming through, the likes of Skugel. Salmon, as I say, is on fire up top, and it'll just be interesting really who partners him up there.
Kev, the young lad Offord that you mentioned who's on loan, he used to be part of our youth setup before the horrendous decision was made to close it about 4 or 5 years ago. And he's one that was obviously tipped to go on and do really, really well. There was an alleged rumour just in the last week that we were keen to bring him back. I don't know where it's fell, whether it's suburban or otherwise, but he's definitely going to be one that I'm going to keep an eye out to see kind of what we could have had type thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'll caveat it with we've seen 30, 35 minutes of him. That's it. But he hadn't met any of the players. He joined on Thursday night, Friday morning. He hadn't met any of the players. And honestly, from that half an hour on Saturday, I'm going to say you have let one go there.
Yeah, really. So I think that's the chat, sadly. But
I mean, a couple of ex-Bairns, obviously, you've got the manager in the dugout, Brian Rice. Yeah. How are you taking to Ricey as your coach?
Yeah. Really well. I mean, when we appointed him, I think my view at the time was it was a bit meh. You know, it wasn't we just came from having Barry Ferguson in charge.
Such a breeding ground for brilliant managers when you see Jack Ross, obviously, the job that and his name's just went out of my head. Aberdeen manager.
Jim Goodwin.
Jim's obviously was in there as well, and it seems to be just a real great breeding ground for managers.
It was until Barry came along, unfortunately. But no, I mean, the first half of last season was horrendous as an Iowa supporter. And
was surprising because obviously Barry had done a great job at Celtic with Bob. The two of them had done a really good job there. And you think when they come in, you think, you know, I thought Alan might have kicked on last season, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, there was no engagement with Ferguson and the support. And at some point, Dumbarton away sticks to mind, where it was quite the opposite, that he's trying to go fighting with the supporters. I think when you kind of looked at, you look at what he did with Kelty, and I mean they were heavily financed. Don't get me wrong, they won the league. That, you know, he's done a good job there, but I mean they were heavily financed for doing that. Yeah. You kind of look before that, what happened with Clyde, and he kind of put them down a pretty shaky path. Certainly when Chipper came in, as I say, it never blew me away as an appointment, but I think what we needed at that time was a bit of stability, you know, a steady pair of hands, and that's what it looked like it was. I'll be totally honest with you, Brian Rice has been great for Alloa. He's a manager that when things don't go well, he fronts up to, you know, he'll take responsibility when results haven't went our way, and fronts up to that in his interviews. He engages with the support as well. And the one thing I would say, during a match, he's not afraid to change things about. On Saturday, we switched back and forward between a 4-4-2 and a kind of 3-5-2 about four or five times. But if something's not working, he's quite prepared to change during the game. And it's, you know, that was something we were quite critical of Ferguson, was he had one way of playing and he just kind of stuck to it. The other thing he did as soon as he came in the door is he put two up top, and that's completely changed how Alloa have played. Every game that Rice has been in charge, he's had two strikers on, and he sticks to that, and it's much better to watch.
Yeah, really interesting backstory going on, potentially on the part. I don't know if it will start or not, but we've got two brothers. We've got Nicky Hogarth, and we've got Jay Hogarth. The Jink Jay will start on.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so we brought Jay in on loan from Rangers. We were kind of, at the start of the season, we were a bit kind of light in the kind of goalkeeping department. So we brought Jay Hogarth in. At the same time, we'd had Willie Muir, who's ex-Queen's Park, on trial. He got a bad injury in a friendly, actually, ironically, against Queen's Park. But we signed him as well. So Willie's now back from that injury. But look, Rangers aren't going to send a player into League One to sit on the bench, realistically. So Jay's played the whole season so far. He's been pretty solid. He was at fault the opening day against Dunfermline. He got beat by a cross that came in and just kind of moved about a bit with the wind in the air, and it caught him out, and, you know, it made him look a little bit daft. But other than that, he's been solid. Commands his area pretty well. Good shot stopper, and he's good with the ball at feet as well.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see two brothers face off against each other.
We were talking in our previous, so the guy we've got from Rossvale up front, Brad Roden, so we played against his brother, Andy Roden, who was ex-Shire. So he's left back for Clyde now. So it's 2 weeks in a row that we've got two sets of brothers going up against each other.
Of course. And then you would have had last season, you had Grant, didn't you? Had the Grant brothers going up against each other as well in that league.
I'm trying to think if we'd binned Ray by, I think we'd got rid of Ray by that point, so they never, it was another one that we faced on Saturday, but they never went up against each other for and against Alloa.
Right, okay.
Interesting to see where his dad sits. Will he be at the Falkirk end? Will he be in the Alloa end? Who knows?
So maybe the mall go to the one end and the dad will go to the other end. So
we saw Miles up at, his dad was obviously up at the Dundee game.
Yeah.
We saw him there, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Well, you've got that history as well. Obviously, Miles Hogarth played for both clubs as well, so it's kind of dubbed that it's the Hogarth family derby this weekend.
Absolutely right. Okay, so Bet365 have Falkirk at evens, the draw at 12-5, and Alloa at 12-5. Kev, what do you think the score is going to be this weekend?
Yeah, so I think the odds are fair. I think they're right how they are. I'll be honest. I think any of the results is possible this weekend. I'm probably going to put the touch of death on it here, but it looks like a banker, both teams to score. I'm going for two each. I think there'll be plenty of goals. I think if Alloa were to get two ahead, I could see us winning. But I think a draw. I'm going to go two each this week.
Ross, what you got?
I just want to get back to winning ways after Saturday, to be honest, John. I'd bite your hand off for a 1-0 just now. And I do agree with Kevin, though. I think both teams might score, so I'm going to go 2-1 Falkirk. What about you?
I'm going to go Falkirk win 4-0. Boom, let's have it.
Where's that came from?
Yous will do well to stop the Brian Rice Alloa goal scoring juggernaut. So if he's got a clean sheet, he's done well.
Do you know what? Actually, I've realised Connor Salmon's going to be there, so he'll definitely score. So we'll
you know
four.
He's a stick on for a goal.
We'll go 4-1 instead then.
John, do you not still live near Connor Salmon? Can you not light some fireworks off on?
Oh, we can maybe do that. I think yeah. He lives down the big house. He's in Torwood, so yeah. It's around Friday night. Let's light off some fireworks.
There's been plenty of fireworks from Salmon this year so far. So I tell you what, hopefully it continues.
I wouldn't want to get caught by him. That's for sure. He would absolutely bar you. Listen, Kev, thank you so much for coming on. That's Kev from the Wasp Nest podcast. And best of luck. Though we say this every week, but we don't really mean it. But best of luck for the weekend.
No worries. It's good to be on.
Thanks, Kev.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that's us from our slightly depressing Falkirk Daft from this week, Ross. Onwards and upwards. You know, it's been a tough week.
It has been a tough week, and do you know what? We've got a home game now against a team that historically we've done pretty well against. I know we don't always beat them, but historically we've done pretty well. It's a winnable game, and hopefully we do, because I'd love to be going to East End Park with 3 points under the belt.
It's a must win.
Without doubt,
this is a must win. You heard Stephen McGinn about in his interview post-match after Kelty, just saying, you know, we want to make this place into a fortress. Now, we've not been beaten there. No. In the league this season, and we need to go there with that mindset, and we need to put on a performance this Saturday. So it's a must win. So anything less than a win is a disaster, obviously, at this stage of the season, because then going into East End, and the thing is, that's the thing, if you slip so far behind them, you know,
we need to be the team at the top. We need to get ourselves there and then keep there, and we need the pressure of that. And as you just said, we don't want Dunfermline getting 5, 6, 7, or 8 points or whatever it may case be in front, because even at this stage, it's a tough we ask. And I know we talked about it earlier on. You can't afford to lose every fourth week and be expecting to go up. It's just not going to happen. So we need to cut out the wee silly mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree. So that's it. Fingers crossed for the Owl game. Thank you very much for listening or watching Falkirk Daft. You can get us Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Or, of course, you can see our beautiful mugs on YouTube as well. A couple of reviews have come in. Ross, Haberlicious. I don't think it's Marcus Haber, but you don't know. A must for all Bairns fans. Lots of laughs and good insight. Not into other clubs in the league, which is great. Hosted by two of the best looking guys this side of Fruxilias.
Oof, that's a statement, isn't it?
It's a statement. Listen, I'll take that.
Not a question, it's a statement.
And finally, great show this week, says our old friend Leo Fasan. Back in touch, big fan of the podcast. Thank you, Leo. Listen over there in Italia, Serie Z, or whatever. Listen, thanks very much as always for watching or listening to Falkirk Daft. Get us on our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Falkirk Daft. Subscribe, like, and subscribe, guys. Comment below to the YouTube channel as well. We'd love to hear. And get involved in our Discord chat. The invite is in the link on our socials. Click onto that and you can get involved in all the chat on Discord. And as always, we like looking for sponsors, because, you know, we'd like to get paid for doing this, so that'd be nice.
And, you know, there's some interest, I think, on the go and behind the scenes as well, which is great. And as we've already shown, that we're gonna put a little bit back into the football club as well. Sponsorship of Callum.
We're just waiting for Callum Morrison's next goal. That's we'll wait for in anticipation. He's never going to see. We as Falkirk Daft podcast, we've absolutely tainted this. Falkirk Daft are not responsible for Callum Morrison not scoring again this season. Do we get our money back if Callum Morrison doesn't score?
Probably not. Anyway,
fingers crossed, Callum Morrison get a goal on Saturday, so you can see our beautiful Falkirk Daft logo appear for the goal sponsor. Listen, thanks very much for listening. If you do want to be a sponsor, get in touch with us, DM us, or you can get us on falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. That's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, Ross.
Expect unexpected.